Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, hello.
How are you today?
I'm a little sleepy.
Oh, have you had a nap since you first got up?
No, I haven't. I think that might be the issue.
Ah, I see. So you've been up early doors.
I was. I have been up early doors. And I... there's a couple of opportunities to nap, which I didn't take up.
It's always a mistake.
I don't know what's wrong with me, Lee. Can you help?
Jack Reacher has the right attitude. If you can eat, if you can sleep, because you just never know when the next time you're going to have to, I don't know, dig a swimming pool with your bare hands or murder some bad guys will arise.
Exactly.
Or just in your case, make bread.
Which is why I don't understand why people don't understand the gospel according to Jack.
Fools. Foolishness. Oh. Silliness and ridiculous.
Completely. This is a podcast in which two friends talk about the pleasures, absurdities, and imperfections of being human. I'm Simon Ellis.
And I'm Lee Miller. Welcome to Midlifing.
How are you?
I'm good. I've got content.
Wow, so do I. But you should go first.
Oh. Well, my content, I've got two types of content. One is a thing I've started to read, and one which might take longer or might take shorter. It depends on whether or not you're familiar with it and it's something that's interesting to you. I think it is. But the other is much quicker, and that is Spring Has Sprung, Simon Kennedy Ellis. Spring has sprung.
It has, hasn't it? It's still a little chilly for my liking.
Okay, you can say that, but I'm going to say this. Jeffrey and I went for a walk this morning, and we both agreed, let's push the boundaries. Let's not just go for our usual, 45-minute walk. Let's go for an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. We did that.
Wow.
We did about...
Trekking, basically.
I mean, it's really not. We potted, we did about 4.5 miles, so we had a nice stride out. But here's the thing. This is why
you have to take Scroggin with you, though.
What's Scroggin?
Scroggin's a thing you take when you go hiking. It's a mixture of nuts, seeds, and chocolate.
That kind of thing. No.
Yeah, but
I didn't
it's called Scroggin in New Zealand. Anyway, the reason why spring has sprung.
Oh, yeah. So, Jeff and I, we went for a walk, and the first thing that told us, hello, spring is on the move.
Seal.
Is that, yes, not just the seal, although it was the seal, but the seal on his little back, chewing a fish.
He was lying in the water on his back, chewing fish.
In a patch of sun, just like, this is so nice. I'm in my watery place. I'm eating my delicious fish. And he swallowed it down. Then he had a little look. And he went, oh, it's Lee and Jeff. Hi, Lee and Jeff. How are you? Okay, I'm just going to go and scare this duck now. And then he went under the water and the duck flew away. So that was one thing that we were like, wow.
Oh, so that's first sighting of the year,
first
right?
First sighting of the seal of the year, for me at any rate, because Jeff said, let's go down by the river. Doesn't usually want to do that, usually wants to hang around Morrison's car park and look for discarded sandwiches. Who can blame him? Then, as if
Morrison's,
that wasn't
by the way,
exciting.
By the way, for listeners, Morrison's is a supermarket chain in the United Kingdom. Where does it rate on the class scale?
Oh, gosh.
So at the top is Waitrose, right?
Waitrose would be at the top. The ones that float free of class distinctions
Sainsbury's?
Are Lidl and Aldi.
Lidl and Aldi float free of class distinctions.
Yeah, because they often come at the top of taste tests for things like their champagne. And they are famed for
that.
Yeah, it's true, and they're famed for a variety of like good fresh produce. Also, they're pan continental. They're all across Europe.
Yes, they're not just British like Sainsbury's. Although Sainsbury's, I think I remember in Singapore, I remember thinking there were, or maybe that was Marks and Spencer. Anyway,
might be. So it would go if we're thinking food. Waitrose, Marks and Spencer at the top, followed by, it used to be Sainsbury's was high up there, not anymore.
Sainsbury's has been falling down the charts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say that you've just kind of got this like big splodge in the middle where it goes sort of Sainsbury's and Tesco and that lark. And then I think a little bit underneath that would be Asda and Morrison's.
Ah, that's so that's actually a really useful clarification for me, so I know exactly where I should shop. And I know people are thinking, what the hell is he talking about, those of you who are not in Britain? But I remember when I first arrived here, it blew my mind the kind of the way in which class is so apparent in supermarkets. And it got me, it actually made me think about supermarkets in New Zealand and Australia kind of differently, that had never occurred to me, but maybe they are similarly, which I suspect they are.
Oh, I think when I go to Portugal, I can see that there are definitely class distinctions between sort of, well, it might be about branches maybe than brands, because you can go into some really quite high end Pingo Dos and you can go in some quite rough ones. Similarly with the continent. Anyway, that's not the issue. Jeff didn't end up going into the Morrison's car park. We went for a walk by the river. We saw Mr. Seal. Hello, Mr. Seal. 80s fish, delicious. Had a swim, scared a duck. Walked along a little bit. Two swans hanging around. They did a little lovely. I like to think bob of the head, good morning. But I know it was the precursor to getting really cross and hissing.
But yeah, they just nodded. They nodded.
They nodded.
Yes, yeah. I love that. A gentle bowing of the head.
Gentle bow of the head.
Hello.
Then two Canada ducks flew over us. Oh, Canada ducks. What a dickhead. Canada geese. Canadian geese. Canada geese. You know, the big ones.
I think Canada geese is a type of vodka. I think it's different.
No, there's definitely Canada goose. Goosey. Anyway, two of them flew over going like, wah, wah, wah. And we're like, oh, that's exciting. And as our head was up looking at the geese, we only went and saw a woodpecker. And then the woodpecker went and pecked some wood for us.
Wait, did you see a woodpecker flying?
No, it was in the tree pecking some wood, and we were watching the woodpecker pecking wood, and then, as if that wasn't exciting enough, another woodpecker echoed back to it.
You hit the jackpot. You hit the spring.
No.
It's not finished yet.
I have not even finished, Simon.
Lee Miller. I'm feeling, I just...
Are you
envious.
Ready? Are you ready for the next bit?
I'm sure.
There was a man sitting on a bench with his hood up, just enjoying the weather. This was at 7:15 in the morning. He was probably doing something else as well as, you know, he was probably waiting for a lift. But he looked like he was enjoying the sun. He was on his phone. He wasn't smoking a joint.
Good.
Yeah. Anyway, we got a little bit past there. Woman came past doing jogging. In shorts, not in leggings. Another good sign that it's spring. And then... Are you ready for this?
This is jogging.
The big clincher. Doing jogging, yeah. This is the big clincher that makes me know spring has MF sprung. We went up a little bridle path. We turned to the left, and as we turned to the left, not 10 feet in front of us, two deer staring us, banging the eye in the middle of the road, and we just went, shit. And Jeff said, shit. And the deers said, shit. And then everybody went, oh, what are we going to do? And Jeff kind of went, maybe if I do a dance, they'll appreciate it. And he did that little thing that dogs do where they drop their front paws down and their head down and their bum in the air. Like do you want to play?
Do you want to play?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the deer went, nope, and ran away. And then Jeff was like, let's chase them. This will be the best day ever. And I said, let's not chase them.
Was he on a lead?
We can have a look. He was on his long lead. And I asked him not to run away, and he didn't.
Could
so
he
we
pull
agreed
you over
to be calm.
If he really wanted to?
I mean, he could pull me over if he didn't really want to.
It's okay. So it's the lead is a sham in a way.
Ah, absolutely, yeah, yeah. It's an agreement rather than a... So we went a little bit further down, and then Jeffrey jumped over the same wall that they jumped over, which was somebody's garden, and then just had a high old time standing in the middle of someone's garden, sniffing the air, going, there were deer here. Can you believe it? Can you believe it?
So why is that a sign of spring, the deer? Because what would they be doing in the winter?
They probably would be a little bit... They'd still be around, obviously, but they would be less... visible at that time of the day. They would have sort of gone to ground, and
so they're out and about, basically. And they were taking a spring walk.
They were having a lovely little spring walk, and then we carried on walking home, and then we found two bananas on the floor. Nothing to do with spring, just I thought I'd let you know. Jeff's scavenger hunt
still
continues.
Great though.
Absolutely. It was a brilliant day. I had to peel them for him.
So he still hasn't figured out his paws, really, has he?
I mean, you know, he says if he's sitting down, he can work stuff out. But when he's standing up, which he was, it's quite hard to peel and stand and eat. And he said, if you've got a human being with opposable thumbs, you might as well just get them to crack on.
Yeah.
That is not really content, but I just wanted you to know that spring has officially sprung.
I've been, I loved that story. Thank you very much. My little spring story is that when I moved into this, apartment, it was a couple of years ago, there was a cheap kind of bird feeder. And I remember putting some things in it and then no birds have arrived, so I just sort of gave up on it. And then this year I can't remember what happened, but I put some bird seed on the railing in the balcony. And it was gone every morning. Well, you know, no surprises there. And I never saw the thief or the smart bird, but pretty sure magpies. And I thought, why don't I just see if... I was curious to see if a magpie, because, you know, I know they're smart.
Super smart.
Yeah, yeah. I was curious to see if they would happily munch at the seeds out of the feeder. And I put the bird feeder, I sort of perched it, notice my use of the word perch, on the balcony thing, on the railing of the balcony. And I had no idea whether they were using it or not because I couldn't tell. I couldn't see it going down or I didn't see any. So I hung it up. And thought very unlikely that, because magpies, as far as I'm aware, are not like beautiful birds that don't exist here. Very fast wings, iridescent.
Hummingbirds?
Hummingbirds.
Hummingbirds?
They're not like hummingbirds that can just hum in the air and, you know, eat, hover in the air.
There's very few birds that have that capability. Hummingbirds and birds of prey.
Birds of prey can do it.
Yeah, of course they can. Yeah. They use thermals as well, but they do that thing. Have you never seen a bird of prey hovering?
Yeah, yeah.
Before it just drops down. I love it when they just pull their wings in and fall like a stone out of the sky.
And chew on a mole.
Beautiful thing. I mean, there's that.
My assumption was that the bird feeder would be too unstable, that they wouldn't be able to get effectively purchase on it to eat. But then lo and behold, some blue tits. Just one. Very anxious, very, very, very anxious. And it also turned out that I've got a birdhouse on my balcony, which I'd never noticed before, and they were very interested in that. So I've been just enjoying little blue tits swooping in, taking a nibble, looking around furiously and frightened, as if they're always frightened, and then darting off, just dropping off. Beautiful, 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 but very hard to work when out of the corner of your eye there's always this little flicker of movement. So I've just taken to just watching them instead of working. It's great.
Which is actually a much better use of everybody's time.
Totally.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
Looking at birds.
Also, I worried about their just how anxious they are. I suspect that is their way, although I know there are sparrowhawks around here, so they've probably got good reason to be a little nervy.
Yeah, absolutely. In our garden... which, as you know, is enclosed, and you probably don't know, is a biodiverse haven.
I did know this.
Hedgehogs, newts, frogs, birds are plenty. We had, I think I've told you about the collared doves who had multiple broods. Well, we've had some pigeons nesting in a tree, the yew tree, if you're interested, fauna fans. They fledged their first one and off they popped. And then they were wood pigeons, but now just like normal commoner garden pigeons have decided to come in. And they came last year and they roost directly above the door, which is so annoying because then they shit on everything, including me when I come in. So Bob and I have taken to standing in the garden saying, pigeons, absolutely not. This is unacceptable. And obviously our neighbours have said, why are you so angry at the pigeons? Because we can be heard from multiple houses just haranguing these feathered imbeciles. It's like, if you just move along, for goodness sake, choose a better place. You can't reason with a pigeon.
Have you thought about getting a hedgehog and sticking it up there so that they can't land on it?
We already have a hedgehog. He's called Carl, and I don't think he'd like to sit up in the eaves of our porch. Like, I think he's much happier on the floor.
That's what they use in train stations in London. They just use hedgehogs.
Live hedgehogs?
Yeah, all over there, so pigeons can't sit down.
How do they get their hedgehogs to stay in place? Do they give them gifts?
I do not know.
Well, I can tell you this, that a Totnes hedgehog is not going to go climbing up high for anybody, not even if I was to go and put dog food up there. He's just like, no, I'll sit on the floor and I'll eat my slugs. What's wrong with you? I was in an interview. I've been in interviews all week, interviewing PhD students.
Oh, I thought you were being interviewed for the media again.
No, that doesn't happen that often. Although I do have to meet with our new comms officer next week, but that's a separate issue.
They want some new selfies. They want you to take new selfies. In fact, you're so good at taking selfies, they want you to take selfies of other people.
I think you can take selfies of
all the photos, all the photos at FU University, or as I like to think of it, as FU.
I noticed, listeners, I want you to know that Simon got hold of my business card and wrote fuck you on it.
Well, that's not the whole story, though, is it?
I think it's pretty much the entirety of the story, and my response was, bitter much.
It's not the whole story, because the front of the said business card just has a big F on it. It's basically pleading for people to write "fuck you" after it. That's all I saw. I said this is an open invitation to write "fuck you."
Somebody who works at Coventry University, we know how well that's going to end.
He'll have to delete.
Not
that.
Tonight. So, Coventry maybe, University.
Maybe tomorrow.
Not tonight.
So, oh dear, I lost my train of. Oh yes. Yeah, so hang on. Wait.
Oh, comms, interviewing.
Comms. So what? I think it would be great as a sort of a marketing strategy for F University Falmouth is that all of individual photographs of people that work there are basically you standing next to them taking a selfie. It would be so great. You just appear in every single.
I mean,
how famous would you be?
I think I would improve the vast majority of photographs because I am a delightfully photogenic and a very smiley man.
Delightfully photogenic.
I am.
You are. It's true. You are.
I've got a lovely face.
You are. Also, you're not self-conscious in a photograph, which is that's part of the delight.
It's because I'm just always happy. What's the point of being self-conscious in a photograph? Also, I don't consider myself to be handsome, but I do think I've got a nice face, as in kind. I think you look at my face and you think, he doesn't look like he would stab you. Oh, actually, that's not true.
Were taking selfies with everyone, which I don't know what you know, for at Falmouth University, because I know when you took that amazing selfie of yourself.
I was in bed.
You were in bed, and it took you a few goes as well. It's not like you just took a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So do you think you'd have to take like 40 with each person or 20?
No, it depends. Who are we wanting to look good, me or them?
Oh, well, no one stands a chance next to you.
So in that case, I could probably get it done in two or three.
Wow. So they'd be just whatever, and you'd be like, this guy's shining. This guy is shining. This guy is Falmouth University.
You have content, I have content, and I'm aware that we are... Oh, gosh. We might need to save content for next week.
What are we... Oh, goodness. So do we have to sort of go to the ending now?
No, we're not quite at the ending, but I think... I wonder if it's too late to start a content conversation.
Because often what happens... You know, this is the way... Well, the way generate content... is, you know, mostly yes. It's things I read, as you know. It's things I read and I go, I'd quite like to talk about that with Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite a common thing. And I've just seen something and I thought, yeah, I see why I'd like to talk about that with Lee. But I don't know whether it's going to be a rabbit hole or just like the beginnings of a rabbit hole.
Well, try it.
Shall I hit you with my best shot?
Da, da, da. Why don't you hit me with your best shot? Do it.
So this is
Fire away. Sorry, I just had to finish it. It's in my head.
Also, great timing. I'm sure everyone listening would have had in the backs of their minds, as you said it, fire away.
Okay, I'm ready. All right. I won't sing anymore.
So this is a guy called Dan Dennett. Oh, I struggle with Daniel Dennett is a I think he's a cognitive scientist.
He's a cognitive dude, isn't he? Yeah, I know Daniel Dennett's work.
Yeah, I know you know his. So he said, if you're not willing to consider that you're wrong, then you're a spectator, not a participant. Discuss. Because the reason, of course, that interests me is because I like entertaining the possibility or the certainty of being wrong.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious. And I like that. I'll leave it with you. I'll say it one more time. If you're not willing to consider that you're wrong, then you're a spectator, not a participant.
So I know Daniel Dennett because of his concept of the pea zombie. That's where I came across him.
Ah.
The philosophical zombie. I don't know if you're familiar with that. So
you mean in relation to consciousness?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's sort of, and it's connected to broader conversations about qualia. I'm not going to delve into that.
Can you briefly say what qualia are?
I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to move.
Qualia is like raw feels. Pardon?
Raw feels.
Yeah, like, so what is it when you see red? What is the quality of redness that has got nothing to do with it reflecting light, but its effect on you?
It's the raw feels before you process, really.
Yeah.
And usually it's sort of referencing that which sits outside of a linguistic or a lexical frame. You can't quite put it into words.
Yeah.
That qualic.
Yeah. Yeah. And qualia are, I assume it's plural. It's not countable. You can't have five qualies.
No.
It's like it's milk. I guess. It's not countable. It's like milk.
Yeah. But in the same way that milk is dairy, I think you could probably have something which is qualic. Anyway, how do I feel about the idea that you've just framed from Professor Dennett?
Yeah.
I think, okay. So I'm coming at this fresh.
Yeah. And I haven't thought about it a lot either. In fact, most of these things, I don't think about them a lot. It's just more like I go, maybe I could talk about that with Lee. And it's not like I've done a whole lot of research spectators and being spectators and participants.
you bugger. I think there's a little bit of me that, it doesn't bridle at it, but I understand why you might struggle. There is, and I'm only responding to a sentence, there is something about the judgment and the assertion that is connected to the way that it's framed. If you're not prepared to consider this, then you are that. It's kind of like, whoa. Given that we're talking about opening ourselves up to uncertainty, that feels like a very certain position to take.
I'm with you.
I kind of go, ooh, but of course I recognise that I'm hearing it out of context and Dennett might have framed things around it that is a little softer.
It's also someone else citing or quoting Dennett as well. So we're like Kevin Bacon here. We're many degrees of separation. Yeah, it's interesting. The two things that it does for me is one is that it diminishes the value of being of spectatorship and what it is that spectators do to contribute to whatever it is that they're spectating. And the other thing is that when I think of it in a situation where you're like someone's basically proselytizing, that they're so certain about, and you know, I'm super guilty of this. I'm so certain about a particular idea that I'll come across as if I'm, you know, preaching. And what's weird about that, or the certain kind of irony or maybe paradox, is that I feel like I'm fully participating in something, and yet all sense of kind of humility about the possibility of being wrong is certainly not close to the surface. So those are sort of two different sides of the same coin, I guess. I don't know what else to say other than...
I think that feels like an end.
I'm stopping recording.
Okay, me too.